From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled Pardon for Sins of Believers, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Mountains Turned to Plains. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. At this hour, a mountain of difficulty, distress, or necessity may be in our way, and natural reason sees no path over it, or through it, or round it. Let faith come in, and straightway the mountain disappears and becomes a plain. But faith must first hear the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This grand truth is a prime necessity for meeting the insurmountable trials of life. I see that I can do nothing, and all reliance on man is vanity, not by might. I see that no visible means can be relied on, but the force is in the invisible Spirit. God alone must work, and men and means must be nothing accounted of. If it be so that the Almighty God takes up the concerns of His people, then great mountains are nothing. He can remove worlds as boys toss balls about or drive them with their foot. This power He can lend to me. If the Lord bids me move an Alp, I can do it through His name. It may be a great mountain, but even before my feebleness it shall become a plain. For the Lord hath said it. What can I be afraid of with God on my side?
Thank you.
It will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. The second division of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer deals with ourselves and our needs. Interestingly, the principal focus here is on sin and its consequences. This reveals both the pervasiveness of sin in the lives of Christians, as well as the Savior's view of the seriousness of sin. However, the Lord Jesus is also seeking to teach that there is pardon for sin. The prophet Micah asked the question, "Who is a pardoning God like thee?" Thank God there is forgiveness for those who truly repent and turn to Christ. Now to commence this message, Pardon for Sins of Believers, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say, let me interject here, when you're reading 1 John, underline, if we say. Underline the places in this epistle where profession is tested. And then, as you go through it, underline also the hereby we know. As you go on through it, you'll find if we say, or he that saith that test profession, then hereby we know will give you the basis of assurance. Those are two very important things as you're studying the first epistle of John, if you ever want to get to the real meaning of this epistle. I'm saying that now because I'm not preaching in 1 John this morning, and I like to get a little sermon in by the way. Now, verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. This morning we return in our study of the Lord's Prayer to the verse 12 of Matthew chapter 6. The Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now we're still at the first part of the verse. We have taken time to consider the very first word and how significant is the conjunction of this verse with what goes before. This is the first petition of the Lord's Prayer to be introduced by a conjunction. In other words, the Lord Jesus has a very good reason for joining the petition, "Give us," with the petition, "Forgive us." We have looked at that. We also looked at the sense of sin that a believer experiences when he comes into the presence of God. Last week we commenced thinking upon God's pardon. God's pardon for sin. How to deal with sin. We never got beyond the introduction. I got caught up in a few great texts that announce the mercy of God and his readiness to forgive. And so we come back this morning to consider the great subject of how to deal with sin in the life of believers. When the Lord saves us, he gives us a pardon that is perfect. Absolutely perfect, lacking nothing. He does not partially forgive us. He entirely forgives us. Indeed, he does more than merely pardon our past, but he justifies us freely by his grace. All whom he pardons, He fully justifies. Paul made this clear as he preached in Antioch of Pisidia. It's recorded in Acts chapter 13, verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that is the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now get the progression of events. All whom God pardons, he fully, freely justifies. That is, he sets them on a new legal basis before his throne and his law. On that basis, he declares them not only innocent, but righteous. And he invests them with all the righteousness of Christ, clothes them with the perfect merit of God's dear Son, so that in union with Jesus Christ, they are accepted as Christ himself is accepted. Whom he pardons, he justifies. Now in Romans 8 verse 30 we learn that whom he justified, them he also glorified. Notice the past tense. Whom he justified, he also glorified. And he's speaking now of what happens in the case of every person who receives Christ as Savior. As soon as God justifies that man, accepting him as righteous in his sight because of the imputed righteousness of Christ, he so reckons him one with Christ that, to use the language of Ephesians 2, he is seated together in heaven with Christ. He's already glorified. Now in our flesh we are not yet glorified, but in our union with Christ, glorification is already so certain that it is described as having already taken place. Now this is the fullness of God's grace and salvation. And that's why I say, when he pardons a sinner, it's a perfect pardon, not a partial pardon. And yet, having said that, this is not a paradox. It is not a contradiction. It is simply now looking at what we are while we're still in the flesh, as distinct from what we are legally and in union with Christ. It's looking at, to use the language of some, our earthly condition as distinct from our eternally secure state in Christ. I don't want to get into the theological distinction of the words too much, but there is a world of difference theologically between a state and a condition. That's something to keep in mind. Our state is we're in Christ. Our condition is we're still in the flesh. And justified people who are still in the flesh have a real problem with inbred sin. You were born in sin. Your body has all your lifetime been a vehicle of sin. And therefore, until you are actually glorified in the flesh, then while you're in this world, you'll have a problem with sin. As we saw a couple of weeks ago, every time a Christian prays, every time he catches some glimpse of the glory and the holiness of God, he cannot help but feel the reality and the wickedness of his own sin. There's a sense of sin in every true Christian every time he comes to pray. And while we remain in the flesh, that problem is going to be with us. Question is, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? And in our text, the Lord Jesus shows us how to deal with sin as Christians. Now, this is very vital in the Christian life. If you feel here, then it will make you weak as a Christian, and it will render you incapable of any real service for the Lord. Now, there are some Christians who have such exalted claims of superior holiness that they imagine themselves to be sinless. Some great men have fallen for this. John Wesley played with the doctrine of what he called Christian perfection. And the only way he could make John Wesley perfect was to redefine sin, so that what any normal mortal would recognize as sin, he put off as a weakness of the flesh, and he was therefore perfect. Charles G. Finney, of immortal fame or infamy, according to your theological view. Charles G. Finney, he also played around with the theory of sinless perfection, but he also had to relegate the law of God to a very poor and puny place to make himself sinless. Some people have this notion of their sinlessness, and the result is they either have to contradict Scripture or they have to live a lie and play mind games with themselves, calling sin by some other name. I have seen Christians destroyed by that sort of thing. I grew up in a country where this doctrine was very, very popular, where indeed for quite a long time before the Free Presbyterian Church came along, when you went out into the country districts, almost everybody who was saved through an organization that preached this sinless perfection to its converts and its disciples. And it had a very specious way of doing so. And these were people who did desire real holiness. But I saw people who were led to make the profession of sinless perfection. They knew they weren't sinlessly perfect, and it ended up making them play such games with their own minds. As I say, they were rendered weak and useless in the work of God. But then there are people at the opposite end of the spectrum, and they have such light views of sin. Oh, that's not sin. Ah, you're too strict. You're too old-fashioned. Or, you've all heard those things. Now, if you want to hear the jargon of carnal professing Christians today, who want to get down there into the worldliness of the age, and they want to make you feel guilty for calling a spade, and calling sin by its proper name, what do they tell you? Oh, you are a legalist. For the most case, they're liars. And most of them wouldn't know what legalism was if it jumped out of their soup plate at them. They have no idea what they're talking about, but they have jumped on this easy way to excuse their own sin. They have such light views of sin that they can do anything. Nowadays, Christians go to bars if it happens to be at the place they're working, the people with whom they're working, they're going, it's okay to go. And we have this whole big argument, a specious argument, about what the Bible teaches about wine. I have my doubts that they have anything near the truth in that as well, but that's another story. But they use these specious arguments to justify the support of a liquor traffic that is damning souls by the million, that is filling the hospital beds of America, emptying the homes of America, and cursing the children of America, all to make a bunch of people who hate God rich. and you have Christians and they justify that. And if you stand against it, you're a legalist. If that's legalism, hallelujah. I'd rather be sober and be called a legalist than to be a drunk and think I'm free. Such light views of sin. Nowadays, professing Christians think they can get away with anything. Carnal living.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.